Good morning. Welcome to Tech News Briefing, your daily dive into the most compelling stories shaping our digital world. Today is March 23rd, and on this day in history, back in 1999, the Melissa virus began its rapid propagation, becoming one of the first widely publicized macroviruses and causing significant disruption across networks globally. A stark reminder of the evolving landscape of cybersecurity, a topic that remains front and center in today's tech discussions. I'm Arjiv, and joining me, as always, is our brilliant reporter, Arohi, to break down the headlines. Today, we're drawing insights from leading publications like Ars Technica, MIT Technology Review, TechCrunch, and many more, covering everything from artificial intelligence transforming legal practices to ambitious plans for space and mobility. Let's get right into it. Arohi, artificial intelligence continues to reshape industries, and it seems the legal world is no exception. Beyond the early hiccups, how is AI truly integrating into the business of law?
That's right. Attorneys are moving past the initial novelty and finding practical, impactful uses for AI tools. These aren't just about generating documents. We're seeing AI being deployed for sophisticated tasks like contract analysis, e-discovery, and predicting legal outcomes. Tools can now rapidly sift through vast amounts of data, identifying relevant precedents and clauses far quicker than human lawyers could. This isn't replacing lawyers, but rather augmenting their capabilities, freeing them to focus on higher-level strategic work and client interaction. It's about efficiency and accuracy, not just automating basic tasks.
That makes sense. It sounds like a shift in how legal professionals allocate their time. But with AI becoming such a powerful tool, it also raises questions for those entering the workforce. What are young workers doing to future-proof their careers against AI disruption?
Many are proactively adapting. The focus is shifting from purely technical skills to what AI can't easily replicate. Critical thinking, complex problem solving, creativity, emotional intelligence, and interdisciplinary collaboration. Young professionals are actively seeking out roles that require these human-centric skills and are pursuing continuous learning in areas where AI acts as an assistant rather than a replacement. They're also learning to work with AI, understanding its capabilities and limitations, and leveraging it to enhance their own productivity. It's about becoming an AI-augmented professional, not an AI-replaced one.
From the professional realm, let's pivot to broader societal implications. We've heard about the White House unveiling its AI policy, and perhaps more surprisingly, the Bay Area's animal welfare movement is looking to AI. What's happening on those fronts?
Indeed, these stories highlight the widespread reach of AI. The White House's AI policy aims to establish guardrails, promote responsible innovation, and ensure ethical deployment of AI across sectors. This involves discussions on data privacy, algorithmic bias, and accountability, recognizing the need for a comprehensive federal approach. Simultaneously, in the Bay Area, animal welfare advocates are engaging with AI researchers, exploring how advanced AI, particularly AGI, could be leveraged for causes like monitoring wildlife, predicting environmental threats, or optimizing resource allocation for shelters. It's an unusual but innovative application of cutting-edge technology.
Fascinating intersection of tech and ethics there. Speaking of AI development, we also saw news about Cursor's new coding model. What's the significance of its foundation on Moonshot AI's Kimi?
This is a notable development in the competitive AI landscape. Cursor, a coding AI startup, recently admitted its new coding model was built on top of Moonshot AI's Kimi, a large language model from a Chinese company. This highlights the globalized and interconnected nature of AI development, where foundational models can be leveraged. However, it also brings up considerations around intellectual property, geopolitical dynamics, and transparency of AI model origins, particularly as technology competition escalates. It underscores the importance of understanding the supply chain of AI development.
A complex picture, certainly. And on the hardware side, the latest iPhone 17 Pro is reportedly demonstrating some remarkable capabilities. What's the buzz about it running a 400B LLM?
That's a significant leap for on-device AI. Reports indicate the iPhone 17 Pro has been demonstrated successfully running a 400 billion parameter large language model directly on the device. This capability minimizes reliance on cloud processing for complex AI tasks, offering enhanced privacy, lower latency, and potentially reducing data costs. It suggests a future where powerful generative AI tools could operate locally on our smartphones, fundamentally changing how we interact with our devices, making them more immediate and personal.
Incredible progress in mobile processing power. And on the topic of AI's future, there was also an interesting mention related to NVIDIA's GTC keynote and the idea of a robot snowman. What did that signify for the broader AI landscape?
The robot snowman comment from Jensen Huang's GTC keynote encapsulates AI evolving beyond simple task automation to creating sentient, creative, and even whimsical entities. More broadly, the keynote underscored NVIDIA's continued dominance in AI hardware, its investments in Omniverse platforms, and its vision for AI not just as a tool, but as a catalyst for entirely new forms of intelligent interaction and synthetic realities. It suggests a future where AI could be involved in creation and play, pushing boundaries far beyond what we currently imagine.
From AI, let's shift gears to the dynamic world of mobility and space exploration. First, on the ground, TechCrunch Mobility has been covering Uber's expansive reach. What are the latest developments there?
TechCrunch Mobility has been highlighting Uber's continued strategy of ubiquity, aiming to be a one-stop shop for transportation and delivery needs globally. This includes not just ride-hailing and food delivery, but expanding into freight, groceries, and even specialized services. Their approach focuses on integrating deeply into urban infrastructures and consumer habits, constantly iterating on their offerings to cover everywhere, all at once. It reflects a drive to dominate the on-demand economy and solidify its position as a comprehensive logistics platform, pushing further into new markets and service categories.
A testament to their ambition. And speaking of significant developments in mobility, there's news regarding Faraday Future. After a prolonged period, what's the outcome of the SEC investigation into the EV startup?
In a significant relief for the beleaguered EV startup Faraday Future, the SEC has officially dropped its 4-year-old investigation. This inquiry involved multiple subpoenas and depositions related to allegations of inaccurate statements made to investors. For a company that has faced numerous financial and operational challenges, this outcome removes a major regulatory cloud, potentially paving the way for more stable operations and investor confidence moving forward. It's a critical turning point for their survival and future strategy in the highly competitive electric vehicle market.
That's certainly a weight off their shoulders. From electric vehicles, let's look further afield. Elon Musk has unveiled chip manufacturing plans for his other ventures, SpaceX and Tesla. What's the scope of these ambitious plans?
Elon Musk outlined ambitious plans for a collaborative chip-building initiative between Tesla and SpaceX. The goal is to design and produce specialized AI chips internally, catering to the unique, high-performance computing needs of both companies. For Tesla, this means enhancing their self-driving capabilities and AI inference at the edge. For SpaceX, it's about optimizing their Starlink satellite operations and rocket autonomy. While Musk has a history of ambitious announcements, this move underscores a drive for vertical integration in critical hardware, aiming to reduce reliance on external suppliers and customize performance for their specific, cutting-edge applications.
Vertical integration always presents both opportunities and challenges. Moving from Earth to orbit, a unique NASA satellite is reportedly falling out of orbit. What's the situation, and what's being done to rescue it?
That's right, a crucial NASA satellite is facing an orbital decay, and a company called Catalyst Space Technologies is stepping in with an urgent rescue mission. They need to launch their SWIFT mission by this summer to rendezvous with the falling satellite, stabilize its orbit, and extend its operational life. This isn't just a technical challenge. It represents a growing trend in space sustainability, where private companies are developing capabilities to service, repair, and even de-orbit satellites, highlighting the increasing importance of orbital maintenance and debris mitigation in an increasingly crowded space environment.
Now to a critical area for all this: software, operating systems, and digital privacy. We've seen a concerning cyberattack on a vehicle breathalyzer company, leaving drivers stranded. What happened there?
This incident highlights a severe real-world consequence of cyberattacks. A cyberattack targeted a company providing vehicle breathalyzer ignition interlock devices, mandatory for some drivers. The attack disrupted device functionality, preventing vehicles from starting and leaving drivers stranded across the U.S. This directly impacts individuals' mobility and underscores the growing vulnerability of critical infrastructure to malicious actors, emphasizing the need for robust cybersecurity, especially where public safety is involved.
A truly disruptive event. From security breaches, let's talk about privacy by design. Graphene OS made news by reaffirming its commitment to remaining usable without requiring personal information. Why is this significant?
Graphene OS, an open-source, security-hardened Android-based operating system, differentiates itself by not requiring personal information for use. In an era where many tech services increasingly demand personal data, Graphene OS champions user privacy and anonymity. This news reaffirms their stance, appealing to users prioritizing maximum data protection and control over their digital footprint. It's a strong statement against pervasive data collection and offers an alternative for enhanced privacy.
A clear stand on user privacy. And speaking of operating systems, there's a community dedicated to Nixus. What makes it so appealing to its users?
Nixus is gaining traction, particularly among developers and system administrators, for its unique approach to system configuration and package management. Its declarative configuration model ensures reproducible and reliable system setups. You define your entire system in a single configuration file, making updates and rollbacks incredibly robust and predictable. Users love its power, flexibility, and ability to easily manage multiple software versions without conflicts. It addresses pain points in traditional OS management, offering high control and consistency.
Reproducibility is certainly a powerful feature in complex systems. Turning to software development more broadly, what's the latest discussion on the future of version control?
The future of version control is dynamic, with discussions focusing on scalability, decentralized approaches, and integration with modern development workflows. While Git remains dominant, there's ongoing exploration of alternatives and enhancements for massive monorepos or sophisticated access controls. The conversation often revolves around improving collaboration, simplifying complex branching, and leveraging new technologies to make systems more efficient and robust for evolving demands, especially with distributed teams.
An essential tool for developers. And related to content and digital presence, the concept of posse is gaining traction. What does it stand for, and what does it mean for online content creators?
Posse stands for publish on your own site, syndicate elsewhere. It's a core principle of the indie web movement, advocating for individuals to retain control over their digital content by publishing it first on their own websites, their home base, then syndicating copies to social media platforms. This pushes back against reliance on third-party platforms, which can change terms or limit reach. Posse empowers creators to own their data, maintain archives, and ensure longevity of their online presence, fostering a more resilient web.
A compelling argument for digital autonomy. And finally, on the topic of digital content, PC Gamer reportedly published a 37 megabytes article recommending RSS readers. That seems quite ironic given the topic. What's the story there?
It absolutely is. PC Gamer published an article extolling the virtues of RSS readers for efficient content consumption, but the article itself was a massive 37 megabyte file, prompting discussion and irony online. This highlights a disconnect between advocating for streamlined information flow and the often bloated nature of modern web content, laden with high-resolution images, videos, and complex scripts. It underscores challenges faced by users seeking lean, efficient browsing experiences and serves as a humorous commentary on web performance.
Those are some great insights into the world of software and digital identity. Before we wrap up, Arohi, any final quick highlights?
Yes, just a few quick notes. The gold standard of optimization for Roller Coaster Tycoon has been highlighted, revealing how the classic game achieved incredible performance with limited resources through ingenious programming. GoGo Grandparent, a Y Combinator alum, is actively hiring back-end engineers, indicating growth in services for seniors. And a trend report on migrating to the EU notes more tech professionals considering moves to European countries, often citing better work-life balance.
Excellent, a blend of retro genius, modern opportunity, and global trends. Thank you, Arohi, for that comprehensive look at the week's tech news. That's our deep dive into the latest tech headlines. Before we sign off, here's a surprising tech fact. The first computer program was actually written by Ada Lovelace, Lord Byron's daughter, in the mid-19th century, for Charles Babbage's analytical engine. This was long before electronic computers even existed, demonstrating her profound conceptual understanding of computing principles. A true visionary. That wraps up another edition of Tech News Briefing. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more breaking stories from the world of technology. Until then, have a fantastic day.